How nice is that? How nice to have everyone here this morning again. Sure. You know, every time I get an opportunity to preach, it feels like, man, this is the best stuff that I've ever got to share. Every preach just feels like the best ever. And I sometimes sit and prepare and I think, oh my goodness, this is absolutely awesome stuff, you know? So normally the person preparing has got a whole week or more to prepare and get soaked with what they are doing, and then you have to get it in 20 minutes. So let's start. I just want to quickly, before I start with this week, I want to recap with what I've done a few weeks ago, because they link a little bit. So remember my previous preach, I spoke about the knowledge of God and how God reveals himself. And this morning we are talking about seeking God and drawing close to him. And the thing is, when we see God, he reveals more of himself. When we draw close to him, he reveals more of himself. So the two goes in hand a little. So I just want to quickly recap a little bit. So the previous time I preached, I said God's desire is that we will know him. And he's doing that by a special revelation. And a special revelation is personal, where he makes himself known to you in your heart. I mean, we can get to know about God in the Bible, we can read. And I said, there's no way that any human can get special revelation in his heart by his own effort. So if you remember, I mentioned the scripture in Matthew, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and all of a sudden, I said, oh my goodness, you are the Son of God. And he said, you know what, that wasn't revealed to you by your own effort, but that was revealed to you by God. So a revelation comes by God and by God only. So God's desire to give the Christian believer an enlarged revelation of his Son. I also said that, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 14, which says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And I said that God gives special revelation to individuals so that the church can be built up, so that we can be strengthened. And I said, God wants to strengthen the life of the Christian community so that we understand his grace and truth better. So we all got a part to play. And the more we see God, the more he reveals more of himself. But before we start with the preach, I found an amazing scripture this week that I've never seen before in the Bible. It was a sad scripture, but I thought, wow, I have to share this with you so that we don't do the same. And we can learn from it. So it might sound like a harsh scripture, but it is absolutely so truth. And George, can you put up Ezekiel 33? I cannot believe that this scripture was written in more than 2,000 years ago. Let me read it to you. Son of man, your people talk about you in the houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, come on, let's go. Hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs. I actually laughed while I was reading this. Someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. And the scary thing is, that is not even the message. You know, I thought, wow, that's a nice paraphrased version of the scripture. That is the New Living Translation. NIV, ESV, they all sound the same. But when I read that, I thought, fire, that is freaking shocking. That is shocking, you know, that scripture is in the Bible. And it's more than 2,000 years old. So is it like I've, you know, made it up or anything? But this is what my study Bible, you know, in the study Bible, they've got all the little notes at the bottom. This is what my study Bible says. It says, these people came to be entertained by Ezekiel. They weren't interested in hearing a message from God and then put it into practice. Many people today see church as entertainment. They enjoy the music, the people, activities, coffee, but they don't take the message to heart. They don't seek to be challenged or to serve. Have you reduced church services to the level of entertainment, or does your worship truly have an impact on your life? Listen to God's word and then obey. Apply his words and put them into practice in your life. And I want to start off by saying, please act on what you hear today. But don't you think it's a shocking scripture as well? And I've never seen it before. I couldn't believe it. It's like, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I've done that before. You know, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. I can remember years ago, I was sitting in church, and I was still a young Christian. Someone preached a very hard message. Not very hard, but for a young Christian, it was quite challenging. And I thought, and I didn't communicate it to anyone, but in my heart, then in my chair, I decided that I'll never do that. Just there, I shut it just down. And I decided in my heart, I'm not going to do that. Just still had a smile on my face, still a very nice Christian, but I just made a decision not to follow what they were saying. It's very shocking. But you know what? We can do exactly the same. We can do exactly the same. You know, luckily I've got a notebook. And I think throughout my Christian walk, I've probably got, 20 notebooks. And I get in a habit of making notes. If I don't make notes, there is no way I can remember what anyone has said during the Sunday. Come by dinner Sunday, I can't even remember what Mark has preached about. I have to phone him. Mark, just recap again. or sometimes, whoever's preaching, I'll just go and get their notes, you know, and I'll take it home with me. And I chisel time out to go back to the notes. And I sit and I read it. And sometimes I just read it and nothing happens and I move on. Sometimes I read it and I think, wow, this is amazing. And then I just open up to God and say, God, I want to be like this. Help me. I'm not walking in this at the moment. Help me to be like this. Help me to change this. Help me not to be the same. But so first thing I want to mention is intention. You know, we can all have good intentions, but if we only stop by having intentions, nothing is going to change. So if I've got the good intentions to be loving and kind towards my family, you know, I can say kind words to Maureen, kind words to Armand, buy them gifts. That's my intention. But if I never act on it, if I never actually say kind words and buy gifts, it's actually just a waste, absolute waste. It's just intentions and nothing happens. So please, I mean, not just for today, but carrying on, please don't be like Ezekiel 33, where the people, they said, listen, let's go and listen to Ezekiel. He's got a message from God. We're never going to do what he says. But, you know, we like him. He's got a good message and, you know, he's got a good voice. I don't know, he's like a song, a love song or something. And so let's never be a church. I never want to be like that, where this is true in my life, Ezekiel 33. So let's not this be true in our lives, across culture. Let's always come with intention, even if it's a terrible preach. Let's come with the intention at least to see what we can get out of it, what God is communicating to us, and what I need to do with that. So, let's get to the preach. George, if you can put the second scripture on them. Isaiah 10:12. Seeking God and drawing close to him, the searching heart. And this is such an awesome scripture. Isaiah 10:12. Let me just read that. That's in the New Living Translation. And he said, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. The NIV says this, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Before I dig a little bit deeper into the scripture, if you think about your own life, there are normally two things that come against you. The one is, especially in your Christian life, your spiritual life, is if you lose faith and if you lose hope. Those two things will affect your whole life. It will affect your whole Christian walk. It will affect your walk with God. It will affect your walk with others. If you lose faith, God is not real anymore. God becomes distant. His word becomes very vague. And if you lose hope, what is there to live for, really? You've got no hope in the future, no hope in job or whatever it is. And sometimes we lose hope in others. But most of all, we lose hope in ourselves. So I think if we lose hope and we lose faith, those are two most important things that we have to watch out for as Christians. And the beautiful thing about the Bible is that God gives us tools and ways of how to get that back. Because look, none of us are perfect. We all lose faith or we lose hope at some stage in life. So I'm not, it's not weird. It's normal. Life goes up and down. The enemy tries to hammer us. We get sick. Things happen. People hurt us. And that's why all of those compacted together, it produces fruit. And that fruit is we lose hope and we lose faith. So anyway, let's look at this scripture because this will help us to get that back. It will help us to get hope back, to get faith back. So let's unpack this a little bit. So he said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. NIV says, and you will reap fruit of his unfailing love. And then he says, plow up the hard ground of your heart, for now it is time to seek the Lord, so that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So, we can look at this scripture and we can say, yes, I want to do that. So, what this will look like is, I will plant good seeds of righteousness. What is good seeds of righteousness? It is living in a way, pleasing God as best as you know how. Living righteous. Living morally right. Living before God where you can say with the heart, God, I'm trying my best to follow and live for you. Living, that is planting good seeds of righteousness. But what happens is this, and good seeds of righteousness, so we do this, we plant good seeds of righteousness, and the more religious we are, the more we will do good deeds. So we plant good seeds of righteousness, expect something to happen, but then nothing happens. All that happens, you're getting tired, and you're getting irritated, and you're getting fed up, and then you want to leave the church. So, the mistake that we can make is we plant good seeds of righteousness. We do good, do good, do good, do good. But our hearts are like hard ground. So, the seeds die. The things that you do die because your heart is hard. And you're just doing works. So, that second sentence where it says, and you will harvest a crop of unfailing love is not going to happen. You are not going to harvest a crop of unfailing love if our hearts are not right with God. And that's why it says, plow up hard ground of your heart. And you know what? To deal with our hearts is not an easy thing because it gets compacted by others. It gets abused. It gets compacted by sin. Other people sin against us. There are so many factors that cause us to have a hard heart. Disappointment, expectations that's not met. So we try and do good things. Our heart's not sorted out and those seeds die. But what this verse says, first go and sort out your heart. Make sure you're right before God. Make sure you forgave everyone. Make sure you're not living willfully in a way that you willfully sin against God every day. I mean, we all sin. But if you've got a mindset of, Jesus paid it all, I can just carry on sin, it's not going to work. So first of all, go and have a look at your own heart. Plow up the hard ground. Prepare the soil. And then the normal process is then the farmers sow. They don't sow before they plow. They plow first and then they sow. When you sort out your heart, and then you sow the good seeds of righteousness, you do good things, God will come And you will harvest a crop of his unfailing love. And that speaks to me of his presence, of his closeness to him. For now it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. That is such a beautiful scripture. But I think as Christians, we have to be aware that we have the order correct. That we just don't so fire out. No, this is hard work, this Christian life. I'm going to give up. But first, sort out our hearts. Let's sort out our hearts. And there's a pattern that we have to follow. You know what I love about Christianity? Is that one thing affects the other thing. We do one thing and that leads to something else and that leads to something else. And yeah, it's so clear. God says, faith and hope. How do you want to fix it? Draw close to me. Seek me. How do we do that? We'll first look at our hearts. We do righteous deeds. God bless us with his unfailing love. And that's where we see God. And it's impossible to reap God's unfailing love if we don't sort out the plowing first. We have to do the plowing. And so it's time to seek the Lord and draw close to him. So you know what? Going through life, I mean, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lack confidence. It's easy to lack faith. It's easy to feel defeated. It is easy to be unfruitful. No one plans to do those things, but they just happen. They just happen, and then we sit with a life like that. So how do we restore those things? How do we restore lost hope, lack of confidence, lack of faith, being defeated, being unfruitful? By applying these verses. So let me give you a second verse. George, can you just put up the second verse there? So we restore those by drawing close to God, by seeking God. So Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Sorry, I just need to drink something quickly. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And this was a wow moment for me when I first looked at this and what it means, actually. By believing that God exists and seeking him earnestly, we draw near to God and start to have a conviction that he is real. By believing that God exists and seeking him earnestly, you draw near to God and start to have a conviction that he is real. Faith is a conviction that God is real. So how do we do this? How do we draw close to God? How do we see God? How do we desire? How do we long for God? So I thought the best way to think about that is to think about other things you long for, other things you desire. Or so let's think of, just take a moment and think of something except God, something that you long for, something that you desire, something that you want. It can be anything. It can be a new iPhone, a new drum kit, a new car, new house, bigger garden, pool, maybe a holiday, a European holiday, maybe first class tickets. I don't know. What is it that you long for at the moment? Or what have you longed for in the past? Maybe a better job. Maybe a job with less hours. I don't know. Maybe a job with more hours. What is it that you long for? Just imagine something quickly that you really have a longing in your heart. Saying, you know what? My longing is to have a Holden Commodore. I'm just kidding. But just imagine something in your mind. Man, I would love maybe it's food. I don't know. Maybe with like an ice cream. But just have something in your mind. iPhone, maybe a new game for the guys who do online gaming. Whatever it is, you know what, when you long for something or when you're planning to buy something special, normally there's a lot of research that going into that. And it takes time to go after that thing. So let's say if we want to buy a new house, or anyone has experienced that, you will look at probably a million houses and spend hours on the internet, go and look at places. You know what I mean? before you get the perfect house. Now, in the same way, transfer that time in seeking God and say, imagine we seek God in terms of the time we spend on earthly things. So if you take the hours that you spend looking up something that you like, imagine we take that time and we just go and seek God. And I'm not talking about your early morning or late night Bible study, 5 minute reading of your Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sitting before God quietly alone and say, God, just speak to me. I want to think about you. I want to think about you. Have you ever tried that? Just ask God, I want to think about you, God. I want to think about my life. I want to think about my life with you. What are the areas that I'm unfruitful? What are the areas you want to change? What are the areas you're pleased with me? And just spend time with God, just seeking God. It doesn't have to be a lot of reading. It might be reading, might be listening to some songs or whatever, just to focus, let your heart focus on God. But imagine we spend the same amount of time on God that we spend on earthly things, seeking and finding and longing for earthly things. Just imagine that. And let's replace those things that we long for, we replace that with seeking God. So, by believing that God exists and seeking Him earnestly, you draw near to God and start to have a conviction that He is real. Faith is a conviction that God is real. So the result, so when we see God, we long for Him, we draw close to Him. The result of that, God says that those who seek me, I will reward. And the way I reward them, and when you read that Hebrews verse, and it says, anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And when I read that the first time, I thought, I wonder what that is. And He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And that is exactly what it is. He rewards those who seek Him by responding to them. He responds to the searching heart. And, you know, sometimes I think we go through patches in life and we see, oh, God, where are you? And this is a lovely scripture. We see God. He sees that. He responds to us and He rewards us. And the reward is Himself, because He rewards us by responding to our searching heart. Listen to this. I love this. The reality of God, the awareness that God is real, is hidden and cannot be seen unless He uncovers the truth about Himself to the searching heart. And I think we all can go through seasons in our life where we feel, oh man, you know, sometimes I walk in a place and people say, oh, I just felt the presence of God. And I said, sure, I didn't feel anything. Or I haven't experienced the presence of God or the closeness of God. And when we follow these steps and we look at these scriptures, it says the reality of God, so that God is real, and the awareness that He is real is hidden and cannot be seen unless He uncovers the truth about Himself to the searching heart. And I think there will be occasions where God just, you know, floods someone. But in our general Christian life, God wants a people who seek Him. He wants a people who long for Him. Wants to draw close to Him. So we do all these things and what happened? So we see God responding to the searching heart. He uncovers or illuminates truth that He is real. And we leave with a sense that, wow, God actually hears me. He knows that I'm here. He knows about my circumstances. He knows about the job that I'm looking for, or whatever it is. And the result is faith and hope is birthed. Faith is birthed and hope is birthed when we do that. And while I was preparing for this, I had a picture of dry ground And when we do this, God makes faith grow. He establishes it. He makes it. You know, I don't know how he's doing it. He produces it. And it was almost like little soft green leaves coming up out of dry, hard ground, like dusty, dry area. And these little green leaves pop up. And as we follow these steps, and as we follow these patterns, and we do it constantly, little green shoots pop up, and faith is restored, and hope is restored. But then what I've also realized is, we can sometimes, God does that, and we come, and we just walk over them, and we squish little green shoots into the ground, and we just crush them by our words, by our attitude, by our thinking. And I think God wants to birth something. God wants to start something. He wants to revive something. But because we are sometimes cynical, because of past hurt and things that has happened, with our words and our attitudes and things in our heart, we just walk over and we crush the little green leaves that God's trying to spring up. It's a terrible picture, but that is what happens. So when we do things, when God is trying to break through in your life in a new way, you know, bringing new life, let's be careful not to crush what he's doing, but let's be sensitive to his Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I hope so. Where am I? I'm in Karen, yep. When we see God, he responds, and the result is he restores hope, he restores confidence, he restores faith, and we become fruitful. You know what? It's only God who can do that. Faith, hope, confidence, fruitfulness are all restored when we start to draw close to God. It's not going to be restored by reading clever books. It's not going to be restored by hours and hours of counseling. It is restored by God if we follow these steps. So I want to summarize this in what I've said. And I said, this preach is not intended to add more to your to-do list. Rather, its purpose is to reveal more of God and his ways to you. To gently expose your hearts and to lead you towards greater freedom, forgiveness, fullness, and spiritual fruitfulness. Our God is a redeeming God, and he's in the business of making things new, and he promises to meet us when we seek him with all our heart. And this morning, what I want us to do is, we only did two songs this morning, but we're going to do more songs. But let's respond to God in that. Let's respond to God. Let's say, God, I'm all yours. I want to seek you. I want to draw close to you. Let's not be like people in Ezekiel 33. How sad is that? I've got no intention to put anything in practice what you say. That is freaking awful. It's terrible. Hosea, I just want to recap with this. Hosea 10 verse 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of unfailing love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now it's time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want to encourage everyone this morning that after this meeting, when you go home, remember this. Chisel time out of your calendar. It is not going to sink in automatically. It is not, you're not going to remember it just automatically. Seeking God doesn't happen in your sleep. Seeking God takes time. You have to, and everyone's got busy, busy calendars. You have to sit down and chisel time out of your calendar and say no to friends, sometimes no to family. Say, this is my time. I want to be alone with God. I want to seek him. I want to draw close to him. And what will happen, he will respond. He will respond to searching hearts, and he will flood you with his unfailing love and shower you with righteousness. How amazing is that? In the process, you will restore faith, hope, lack of confidence, and you'll become more fruitful. It's not easy. It's going to cost you. The main thing that is going to cost you is going to cost you time. But please do it. Please don't be Ezekiel 33 people. I myself don't want to be Ezekiel 33 people. And just come to a Sunday, listen to Mark's beautiful voice, like a love song. But let me have the intent and be intentional in applying what I've heard.